All right, welcome to the Lighter Side of the Dark Side. It's your weekly freak show here on Renegade Radio, Steel Waves Radio, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Spotify, Stitcher, Apple, all those places. It's the Dark Mark Show, and I'm Dark Mark, and that's my co-host, Hannah Bach.
Hi.
Hello.
Concealed by her. It's weird, because when you do Zoom, we can see the picture, which would be great on YouTube, but when it's on YouTube, it just says Hannah Bach. It just says your name. I don't know what happens.
Now they can go to my Instagram. They really want to see more photos and videos.
Oh, yeah. It's Hail Hannah Box 666 on Instagram. And Hannah, we've had quite a – people ask, how have you been?
Me?
Yes.
I guess okay. I mean, I was doing better in the beginning of the pandemic, and now I'm just kind of just going downhill. I don't know. How are you?
Even though you got a boyfriend during the pandemic.
Yeah, I do. He's nice. Okay.
Yeah,
he's a nice guy.
Yeah, I so that's everybody's hooking up during the pandemic. I don't know what's going on, but I was going to say, people always ask me what the theme of the show is, and I always say it's the lighter side of the dark side. It's the LA underworld. So, and we have two guests that definitely qualify for that. But we've had such varied guests the last few weeks. We had Clint Carney from System Sin last week with Nicole Six. We had Ginger Lynn, we had, we've had so many very guests. And next week, you're going to be seeing to Bree Walker, and I'll be interviewing the Green Party candidate for president, Howie Hawkins.
Yes, you will.
So you never know who's going to come on. But Hannah, we've got two of our favorite people here, and we're going to, you know a lot about serial killers, and you follow serial killers, and you're a fan of serial killers.
No, I wouldn't say fan. That's kind of like, I think they're cool. I'm very aware, you know. I wouldn't use fan, like the same way I'm a fan of Slayer.
Yeah, but I wouldn't hang out with Slayer. I wouldn't hang out with a serial killer. Because
neither would I.
But we have two people that may meet or exceed your knowledge of serial killers. First, we have our friend Dakota, the bearded lady, who has her own serial killer podcast, and I wish I remembered what you have two, right? You have two now, right?
I have two podcasts right now. One is a serial killer podcast, and then the other one is called Geeks, Freaks, and Beaks. It is a kind of a mishmash of subjects where we discuss geek culture, we discuss sideshow culture, and we discuss birds. So
that's cute.
It's like a really random thing that.
Huh? Birds aren't geeky. Birds are cool.
Birds?
Yeah. Yes. Birds are interesting. They're a little terrifying, but they're interesting. And no, it's fun. Like, it was actually the brainchild of my co-host on my true crime show, Chardon Hay True Crime, where she thought this up and was like, I want to do something lighter. Like, I don't want to do, you know, because like true crime is fascinating and it's so interesting, but like, it can be really taxing on the brain and on the mental health. So we just wanted to have something like a palate cleanse, you know, mm-hmm. And this is all stuff that we'd be talking about anyway. And sure. It's me, it's my co-host Kate, and then it is her sister Chloe. So it's all stuff that we'd already be talking about, sideshow culture, you know, pop culture, and you know, Chloe's husband is really into birds. So she's like, well, I've learned all this stuff from my husband, so I may as well, you know, I can do birds. So, you know,
that's sounds like fun. And I know, I know Chardonnay True Crime is definitely good. We're gonna do the lighter side of serial killers today, I think, because our other guest, who is very much into serial killers, very funny comedian, and apparently you two were on the show that I did together, so you met, and I didn't know you had met. One of our favorites, Mia Mars.
Hello, everybody. I just spent 2 hours last night talking about serial killers.
Oh, wow. Well, here, did you get
I'm warmed up.
You can't stop, can you?
Huh?
You can't stop talking about serial killers.
I realize now that I can talk about serial killers for hours. I officially can say that now.
Well, I got some silly serial question. Serial killer questions for you today. Before we get started, if you're into serial killers, just definitely go to audibletrial.com/DMS. because you know they have tons of books on serial killers. You get two free books or two free Audible originals, or one book and one Audible original. The Audible original I recommend that everybody's going crazy for is the audio version of The Sandman. That's narrated by Neil Gaiman, that has James McAvoy as Dream and an all-star cast. People are going crazy for that. Get that free. Go to audibletrial.com/DMS and get a serial killer book too. They've got plenty.
And speaking of serial killers, Spy Associates, you know, if you're into them, you definitely want to hook up with them.
Yeah, that's right. We're sponsored by Spy Associates. If you go into the description in YouTube or on the podcast catchers, you'll get 20% off any order over $249. Make sure no serial killers are watching you. Get the cameras in your smoke detectors. Get trackers. Get bug detectors. They got all sorts of James Bond stuff. So make sure that there's no serial killer spying on you. And we also have Hustler Hollywood. We're, you know, it's the pandemic, but we're all horny. So get some whatever you want. Some vibrators, dick pills, lingerie, whatever you want. Hustler Hollywood, you get 20% off. Hannah, we really need to support our local businesses.
We do. You got to do Doomy's Home Cooking. Yeah, the best vegan food in Los Angeles, Doomy's Home Cooking. Yeah.
We've all. Have you gone to Doomy's yet, Mia?
No, but I heard that they have some bomb-ass mac and cheese, which is, like, I hate vegan cheese, but apparently their mac and cheese there is really good. Am I thinking of the same place?
I think you are, because it's 1253 Vine Street, right where the M Bar used to be.
Yeah,
that's it. I don't know how they get their cheese, and their ranch dressing is a secret recipe, too. Nobody knows how to do that vegan, but just unbelievable food. They got the fun fries. Last time we were there, I got the chicken parmesan. They have shrimp po' boys, Big Macs on their secret member. You never had the chicken parmesan there?
No, I really want to try it. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's so good.
I love their tacos.
The tacos are great. The nachos were voted in LA Weekly one of the 10 best nachos in LA, the only one without meat. They have two. I don't know how they're doing it now, but they had two restaurants, one with the regular burgers and fun fries and everything else, and desserts, also Doomy's Next Max. If you're in Hollywood, it's on Fountain and Vine. It's the best vegan food you ever had, and support it. And I think since I've got some things to celebrate this week, I think I'll be going down there probably Saturday or Sunday and celebrate with a nice meal there.
That sounds good. And don't forget the jalapeno poppers. I've been craving. Oh, the jalapeno poppers are
great. And also the desserts by Das Baker are had plenty of those.
So good.
Creme brulee, Mia, you got to try it. Ooh. And one more before we go. We got a new sponsor. Yeah. We're on the show. We got so many sponsors. Everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon, but everybody knows I drink energy drinks. I love energy drinks. I drink them all from the Seagal energy drink to the one with horny goat weed. This is the best because they're sponsoring us, but it's also the best tasting. No, this is better than the stuff you get at GNC. It's better than the stuff you get at 7-Eleven. You get this at Jim's, GNC. This is Raise Energy. And what's great about that, zero sugar, zero carbs, zero crash. Can you believe it, Hannah? This is the last one of my the 12-pack I bought of the Voodoo. But no, not to worry. I used my promo code DMS and got another 12-pack of Galaxy Burst. Which is coming in the mail, which is great.
Fancy. Pop
this open real quick. Okay, something happened here.
Pop that can.
Oh. Delicious. I love it. Anyway, so enough of the selling out. We're going to talk serial killers. Now,
all right.
Now, Hannah, I'm going to start the questioning with you. Let's start with who's your favorite serial killer of all time?
I always thought Richard Ramirez was cool because, like, the metal and stuff. But then Eileen Wuornos comes around, and she kind of takes him for the team for women and fucks up some guys that are perverts. So
yeah,
that kind of deserved it. So I might have to lean towards her.
Okay, so you would say her. And do you think that she was railroaded? She should have, was self-defense? You think she should have?
Yeah, totally.
Dakota probably knows more about this than I do.
I have things to say about that, Hannah, so we will talk about that at some point today. I do want to get some questions first, but there's a lot of misconception about Eileen and what she was doing. Like,
you know, the last guy was definitely like a good guy, apparently.
Yeah.
You know, also, she's a little schizo, dude. And she was a hooker, and I wonder why didn't Charlize Theron thank her in her like Oscar speech? What the fuck?
Because she's a serial killer, and wasn't she dead by that time?
I think she was dead.
She died like that year in 2003. I don't remember.
And by no means am I saying she's sane. I know she has problems, total problems, and she shouldn't be out on the streets. Not be out on the streets. And I think the system failed her. America failed her. Our healthcare system sucks. Oh, they should have picked her up.
Absolutely. Like, she used to live in the woods as, like, a fucking middle schooler and was turning tricks. And, like, she was real fucked up at, like, a child. Oh, yeah. She always turned prostitution.
You want to start Easteron.
That made her a man hater. There's a whole fucking thing about Eileen.
There's like a lot about Eileen, but I do want to like bring it back to the victims on this really quick because, you know, we can talk about serial killers as much as we want and we can talk about like what made them do these things. But the number one thing that I try to make people remember is the victims were real people too.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, and especially when it comes to Eileen. And there's this huge misconception that all Eileen did was to like to protect women and everything. And that is not true.
No, because, she did it for their cars. She did it so they could steal their fucking shit. Yeah,
absolutely. But then she tried to make the defense that she did it only to men that were sexually assaulting her. And that is completely not true. The first one probably did. There's no real evidence or proof either way. And yes, I know that, you know, when it comes to like sexual assault and everything, there rarely is. However, she killed a Bible salesman for his car and drove around with all of his Bibles in the car. And like, she killed a guy that was on his way to his kid's birthday party. And he had an envelope full of cash that he was going to give to his ex-wife as like child support. And she stole that and then said like, oh, well, I killed him because he was trying to rape me. But, like, this dude was like, oh, yeah, I'll take you into town.
She saw the obvious envelope and was like, you know, she started, I think after, okay, I can't speak ill of the dead, but, like, I do believe that the first victim actually did try to sexually assault her, because what else
did she follow
the years, you know?
I believe that one for sure. Yeah, absolutely. But to say that Eileen only killed men that were assaulting her is not accurate, and I just want to bring that up.
If she was in Hollywood, she would have, you know, crossed paths with Ron Jeremy, Chris D'Elia, and everybody else. maybe she would have some justification for that.
Noda, who's your favorite serial killer?
Then we wouldn't have had to deal with Ron Jeremy for all these years.
Yeah, you know, Harvey Weinstein, all those people. But Dakota, who is your favorite serial killer?
I don't like to say that I have a favorite serial killer because it sounds too much like I'm idolizing them.
Right.
I like the person that I find the most interest in learning about are actually the cult leaders. So I'm really interested in mostly interested in like Heaven's Gate. That is one of my favorite cults to learn about. So, and that was actually originally designed by a woman. And that's something that you don't really hear about a lot. Her name was Bonnie Lou Nettles, and she and her life partner,
Applebaum or whatever his name was, Appleton. They were Fag and Hag, and then, pardon my French, they were like gay best friend and like straight woman. And then when she died, he kind of went a little more fucking crazy. Have you been to the Museum of Death in Hollywood?
Yep. I've been to the Museum of Death in Hollywood so many times, they don't even charge me to go in anymore. They're just like, oh, it's Dakota.
Because they recognize you more than they recognize me, honey. No disrespect.
Yeah, like, right before quarantine ended, or right before quarantine started, I went there for my 28th birthday, and I brought a bunch of friends with me, and they were like, the manager was like, oh, it's your birthday? All right, Dakota, happy birthday, go on in. And I was like, all right, like, I'll go in there when I'm having a shitty day. And they'll just be like, oh, are you going to go to the Heaven's Gate room? I'm like, yeah, I'll be over
That's
there.
That's what I wanted to talk about, the Heaven's Gate room.
Yeah, well, how was Hannah and I were not invited to this birthday party. This would have been, Hannah, do you feel somebody now?
I know. There was,
For a while there, I had the, I had the Museum of Death shoulder patch on my jacket. Oh, nice. The way jam.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually also have the David Berkowitz pin because he is my favorite serial.
I was going to say, David Berkowitz is your favorite.
Actually, guys, I have a treat for you.
Oh, let's see this.
I have a letter. I have correspondence from David Berkowitz.
Oh, nice. Oh,
wow.
I just wrote it. Do you or to someone else? Show.
It was to someone else. I promised my dad I wouldn't write him. And I'm such a daddy's girl. But the second he dies, I'm writing Berkey. I really hope he's alive because this man is fascinating. Look at his signature.
It's absolutely fascinating.
Let me see. Down a little? Down a little bit.
Oh, there it is. Wow.
It's put up a little, a little bit.
Up a little bit, Mia?
Up a little bit, I mean, yeah.
Up, perfect.
David.
Look at the two different feet.
Wow. Yeah, the big D.
Yeah, that is. Ball. That is really interesting. You don't often see serial killers change the way that they their handwriting, like especially with that. That's really interesting. And what's actually a little bit traumatizing to me is that that second D is how I write my D's. So now I'm
like, oh, shit. And apparently David Berkowitz is a Seattle Mariners baseball fan from what I saw in the letter.
I've heard that. He's a Mariners fan and he likes the Mets. Listen to this. I grew up in the Bronx, and I used to be able to look out my window during the nights the Mets played their home games, and I would see the lights from the stadium illuminating the sky. I couldn't see the stadium itself. It was far away and across the bay, body of water known as the Long Island Sound. But the lights were powerful. Thinking about this brings back good memories. That's beautifully fucking written.
Wow.
Oh, it is beautifully written. Have you watched the interviews with him from prison that were posted? They're like on YouTube. I'll send you a link, Mia. Because they're
Please
really
do. Maybe
interesting.
I have. I'm not sure. You know?
Yeah, they're really interesting. And I watched them in preparation for doing my David Berkowitz episodes. And like, it was really fascinating, like being able to be like, look, this is in his actual words, and I'm just speaking the things that he said. But
Kemper is one of those too. Kemper is a very eloquent, interesting.
Kemper is so interesting.
He is so interesting.
So interesting.
He's so fucking smart. And you know what I find really interesting about Kemper? He's one of the few ones that has felt remorse the way Berkowitz did and became
absolutely.
A creature. But when Berkowitz, after he killed his mom and ran away, he's like, what am I doing? I'm done.
No, I'm Kemper. Done. Kemper, not Berkowitz.
Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
Kemper.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, come and get
me. And then he called his friends, and they thought it was a joke.
Yeah. He because was like, bloody the police. Drink out of, like, yeah.
Yeah.
He used to drink in, like, a cop bar.
And yeah, he wanted to be a cop so bad, but he couldn't because he was 6'8".
Yeah, some people say it was a height requirement. Some people actually, he did pass his mental exam.
The mental exam. He just couldn't pass the height. Yeah.
No, he was like, dude, that's scary. I'm like 6'8".
Yeah, he's 6'8". He's about 6'8". Yeah.
That's the guy you'd want to be partners with. 6'8".
Right.
The 6'8" serial killer.
Also, what was really interesting about Edmund Kemper though is because he went to prison at a young age, and then he had to go to like a mental hospital because he killed his grandparents first. Like, his grandparents were the first people he killed. He shot his grandmother in the head with a rifle
if the mental institution didn't put him back to his mom, a lot of lives could have been saved.
I mean, agreed, absolutely. Like, those poor girls, and you know, that was all just up in Santa Cruz.
Yeah, you know, Santa Cruz for a while was serial killer capital of the world.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was.
There was three of them.
In the 70s, there was, yeah, exactly.
The 70s is just serial killer time, baby.
Wild time. But, yeah, I mean, I have an interesting theory about that, though. Like, I have an interesting theory about why there were so many serial killers in that time.
Why?
It's because we still used leaded gas at the time.
Ooh.
They were using leaded gas, and because there was such a pollution problem in the 70s, like if you watch movies that take place in California in the 70s, you just see this like layer of haze, and that's all the pollution. Like the pollution was actually physically visible in the 1970s. And because we were using unleaded gas, that was being, or we were using leaded gas, that was like being put out into the environment. And you were just breathing that in constantly. And, you know, lead poisoning does really fucked up things to your brain. Like, it, there's a lot of like really weird mental afflictions that come from lead poisoning. And one of them is it's elevated aggression. And there's like a lot of really interesting things about this theory. And this is actually a pretty widely known theory in like the true crime communities. So like, if you look into that, like there's a lot of research on it and it's really interesting. And like, you notice that like, we don't have as many serial killers to this, you know, now, but you
know. Well, I have a theory about that.
Okay.
Yeah, what's your theory?
All right, my theory is that because I feel like the kids that would have grown up to be serial killers ended up being school shooters instead. I also believe that because we have been exposed to like CSI and CIA and all that shit on TV, we think, oh, we're definitely going to leave DNA and shit. And like, you know, I believe it's, they just end up, if they do become serial killers later in life, I think that more people are afraid to become serial killers because of all the DNA shit. So they just become mass murderers instead. They get it all out in one go instead of slowly, you know.
That's an interesting theory.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Is merit to that, Dakota? That's, that may make sense.
I also have a tiny theory why they might be serial killers.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear this.
Real quick, a lot of them have head trauma
in the back. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
These are all, like, that generation, like, maybe didn't care if their kids got hurt real bad on the slide, you know? They're like, oh, come on, Jimmy, walk it off. Wake up. Wake up, Jimmy. Hey, wake up. Let's go play.
I mean, yeah. You look at people like Henry Lee Lucas, who was knocked out for 3 days.
So was Otis O'Toole. He got knocked out, yeah.
No, Henry was knocked out by his mom's pimp, and he was knocked out for 3 days. And then his mom's pimp was finally just like, I'm taking this kid to the fucking hospital. Like, what the hell? This kid
that's, that's a serious pimp hand. Knocked him out for 3 days.
No, it was the mom actually knocked him out, and she used a 2x4, and she like hit him in the head with a 2x4. And then the pimp was finally like, "I'm taking your kid to the hospital, lady. Like, this is a problem." And like, you know, he was immediately released back to his mother, obviously. But like, you know, and that was horrible. But yeah, no, I mean, there. So Henry Lee Lucas. Yeah, Henry Lee Lucas had a head injury. Richard Ramirez actually had two head injuries.
Otis O'Toole, Alexander Petushkin.
Otis O'Toole had a head injury. Yeah, a lot of these guys have head injuries. But another thing, you have to like remember the McDonald triad when you're thinking about
setting a fire, like liking to set fires, bedwetting.
Mm-hmm.
Which really must humiliate them. I also think maybe bedwetting could be replaced with like a stutter. And then there is torturing animals. I do think it should be a square because we need to mention cruel mothers, which is very fucking relevant in most of them.
Absolutely, absolutely. My co-host and I actually are, we're trying to replace it with the McDonald quadrant so that, because in our opinions, you know, yeah, cruel mothers, absolutely, but we think that head injuries belong on the list. You know, we think that it should be cruelty to animals, it should be fire setting, bedwetting, and then head injuries.
So it'd be like a pentagon, and then if they need to check off three and then make like a fucking pentagram, then we know they're definitely evil.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. I didn't even know about the
McDonald triad.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about that, because I have no idea what that is.
I think it's a little creepy that like bedwetting is its own fucking triangle. That's weird.
No, I think So the thing that I think with bedwetting, because I have been in therapy since I was 8 years old, I have taken criminal psychology classes. I've been really into this. I just finished taking a criminal psychology course, actually, like during quarantine. So bedwetting, honestly, to me, it makes sense that it is a part of it, but I think that it goes hand in hand with what you're saying with the mothers, because bedwetting is a symptom of children who have been sexually abused or even physically abused. Like that is something. So like if your kid is, yeah. So like a lot of children who have experienced sexual abuse as children continue to wet their beds, you know, to an older age. And, you know, speaking of one who has gone through that, yeah, that is something that happened with me when I was a kid. Like, so, no, you know, I wet the bed till I was like 8 years old, you know, and that's, you know, if because I was internalizing the sexual abuse that I had gone through as a child.
Well, if it's any consolation, I went to bed last night, but I was standing up at the time. But anyway, I'm so sorry to hear that happened to you, Dakota.
Thank you. But I will give you a quick definition of the McDonald Triad. So the McDonald Triad is also known as the Triad of Sociopathy or the Homicidal Triad, and it's the three factors that we have already mentioned that suggests that any combination of two or more can be predicted of or associated with violent tendencies and, you know, and eventually serial killers and like serial offenses.
Hannah, were you aware of this?
No, not at all. It's the first time I heard about it.
You're learning a lot of stuff today.
I always want to call it the fire triangle. Because I'm from California and it's like you need heat and fuel and, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, I guess the you get the fire, the urine is the fuel, and the what was the other one? Oh, the
fire. Okay.
Oh, the killing of insect or
and a source. Yeah. Like you need oxygen in order for it to like continue. Yeah. You need a source of the fire, and you need heat.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let me lighten it up a bit, Hannah.
Yes.
What's your favorite serial killer movie and your least favorite serial killer movie?
My least favorite serial killer movie was this one they did on Ted Bundy in the 90s. It was so creepy. He'd like masturbate and look in girls' windows. I couldn't even finish it. I think that was one of the worst ones I've seen. My favorite, actually, I watched a really good one last night called Frozen Ground with Nicolas Cage about guy.
I can't do Nicolas Cage. Stop it.
1976 and between like 1984, he murdered 63 women, you know, assaulted them, and he would take their bodies and kind of toss them in the middle of nowhere. I can't remember his name right now.
That's kind of a lot of them.
Yeah. And he was in Alaska. I'm like, I'm from Alaska, and that's the first time I've heard of a man.
Actually, Alaska, I know a lot of serial killers.
Frozen Ground, it's actually really funny that you bring up Frozen Ground, because the man that was portrayed in that is Robert Hansen, and that is who I'm covering on my show this week.
Oh, there you go.
Hunter, the guy in Alaska that was like, run, bitch, run.
Yeah.
Well, shameless plug, when is the show going to be on Facebook Live?
So that one's going to be Thursday and Sunday. So that'll be tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And that'll be Sunday at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. You can watch that on Facebook. You can watch that on Twitch. And you can watch it live on YouTube.
Oh, great. I'll have to catch the Sunday one because I got stuff to do. But
so that'll be the part two. But you can always rewatch them later, too.
Oh, okay, great. So what's your favorite serial killer movie, Dakota, and your least favorite?
Okay, I will say least favorite is Iceman. I think that was what it was called.
With Michael Shannon?
Yeah, it's solely because Michael Shannon was the killer, because I'm really salty about that, honestly. So it's about Richard Kuklinski, who was a mob killer. And he was...
Like Michael Shannon, or what's the deal?
So... No, I love Michael Shannon. I love Michael Shannon, but I'm really salty about the casting, because guy, the actual killer, Richard Kuklinski, looks exactly like the guy who played Tony Soprano. And he was, and he was still alive when they cast and made that movie. And the fact that they didn't cast him instead of Michael Shannon. I love Michael Shannon. He is an incredible actor, but he looks nothing like he was to. And honestly, a lot of what they did with that movie was like, oh, they made it so that, you know, oh, he would like kill anybody but his family. But that's absolutely not true. Kuklinski even said in the HBO tapes, like there are interviews with Kuklinski in prison that were aired on HBO. There's like three of them. And he has straight up admitted that he even said to his children, and his children have said this later, they were like, yeah, dad would have killed us if he had a reason to. He absolutely would have. And they asked Kuklinski about that, and he's like, yeah, if I had to, it would have sucked, but I'd have killed them.
Yeah.
And like this whole time in this movie, they're like trying to make him come off as like some sort of family man who doesn't actually want to be killing, but like his killing was one of his favorite things to do. Like it was the only, arguably the only thing he was good at, but then the only thing that, the like thing that he really sucked at too, because he was so fucking stupid. And I can say that now because he's dead and I'm not afraid of his ghost. Like that is the point that I will make. He's dead, so I can actively say he was a fucking moron.
Would you say most serial killers are smart or
no? Most serial killers
are pretty fucking stupid.
Very low IQs.
Yeah, they're pretty like my absolute
middle ground with serial killers. Actually,
you know, really
like
isn't.
You know, like 110. They're all like 130 and above, or they're all like around 70.
Right.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And like my least favorite serial killer ever is Gary fucking Ridgway. I hate him so fucking much.
Green River? That's an interesting one. Why?
He just really pissed me off at how fucking like that whole case just pisses me off. He was fucking stupid. He was fucking stupid. But then so were the fucking police. Like, it was ridiculous. There were 7 bodies that were found in one area, and the police were like, that's not a serial killer. We don't think that we should have to like sit here and watch this river area to make sure another body doesn't come around. Oh no, where are these bodies coming from?
Ted Bundy told them to. Ted Bundy, the serial killer, said, dude, well, like, he's gonna come back and fuck the bodies. Like, he had said that, and he did. And they couldn't put like a little mini camera is beyond me.
They could have put a fucking trail camera. They didn't even need like a live camera. They could have just stuck a trail camera in the tree and like gotten pictures of this guy like weighing down bodies. Like after 3, they should have been able to be like, okay, I think he's gonna come back to this exact spot. And yet they didn't do anything about it. And that case is like my least favorite fucking case.
It might be the lead in the gasoline.
Yeah. It made them all extra stupid.
By the way, Michael Shannon, who was billed at the time as Mike Shannon, was in Cecil B. DeMente, which I saw this weekend, which I thought was a lot of fun.
John Waters?
John Waters, yeah. It's the only John Waters movie.
I love John Waters. I got a picture of him above my bathroom.
And
I have his autograph right up here.
Really? I do too. I got a
right above where I'm sitting, yeah.
And Maggie Gyllenhaal plays
I've got it on the ticket too.
And Maggie Gyllenhaal plays a Satanist, so in this movie, so it was
Michael Shannon.
Michael Shannon plays a repressed homosexual in this, and Maggie Gyllenhaal plays a Satanist. So it was those were good. Stephen Dorff wasn't that great, so he was the weak link in the cast. Anyway, what's your favorite serial killer movie?
So it's actually not like a movie about serial killers, but like one of my favorite things is actually the Manson family home videos. And that's where a film crew went to Spahn Ranch and lived on Spahn Ranch with the Manson family for a while. And there used to be a video store in town where I lived, and they had like, it was a double cassette thing, and like I would rent it and watch it. It was really interesting just seeing like the daily life of Spawn Ranch. And
what is the daily life of Spawn Ranch like?
That's a good question.
It was a lot of them just like dancing and singing and like, you know, making quilts and stuff, which if you ever have been to the Museum of Death, you've seen the quilts.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so I just
Amish.
What?
They were just kind of Amish hippies.
Yeah, pretty much. They kind of were. So, kinda, you know, I thought stuff, then. Yeah, they were like pretty much hippies. Yeah, they pretty much were.
Oh, you
know, we were little Amish hippies and stuff until they started killing people. But I just thought that was really interesting. Unfortunately, the guy who owned that video store passed away, and I have not been able to find a copy of the Manson family home videos online, and I've been looking for years. So that's like,
where did you find it in the first place? The video store.
I just found it at the video store. It was just there, and I was just sort of like, oh, this is interesting. So I would rent it and watch it, and I was just like, this is really fucking weird. I'm really interested in this. And what I should have done is I should have bought it when I had the chance, because like, he would sell videotapes for like $5. And like, I just never thought about it. I was like, oh, I'll just rent it. And then after he died, like, you know, the city took over because his family didn't want anything to do with the video store. And it really sucks that I wasn't able to like actually get that and have it for my collection.
Well, maybe it'll stream on Tubi at some point. Mia, what is your favorite and least favorite serial killer movie?
Silence of the Lambs is my favorite.
Which one?
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
I don't watch a lot of serial killer movies. I watch more serial killer documentaries because fictionalized serial killers are just based off of the real ones anyway.
True. Absolutely true.
So what's your favorite documentary about serial killers?
I'm trying to think. I watch a lot, man. I don't know. They kind of blend together sometimes. But
they really do.
You know what I... Okay. Can I say the serial killer that really disgusts me and like, sometimes you find sympathetic things and you understand the psychology of some serial killers and, you know, you realize they're more human. This guy, pure evil?
Yeah.
Roy, what's his face? The toy box killer.
Oh, the toy box killer. Yeah. He was fucking gross.
Tell me about the toy box killer.
He was gross. I did an episode about him.
In New Mexico, in Elephant Butte, Nebraska. Elephant Butte, New Mexico. In the middle of bumfuck nowhere near Truth and Consequences. This is, apparently it's a common area that like, it's got nothing. And there was this guy who would like come pick up women and just put them in this weird area that's kind of like the back room of a garage or some shit that was called the toy box.
It was a trailer.
That's it. And you probably know the tape. Do you know the words of the tape better than I do?
I actually have it on my computer. Hang on.
Like, hello and welcome to...
Yeah,
you will
I've
be
got,
a good little slave and you will like...
Yeah, I've got all of that. I've got all of my research saved. So let me pull it up really quick.
There were two escapees. There were two people that got out. And both of these women were bloody and bruised as hell. And, like, I think one of them had, like, a fucking choker around her neck with a chain or something.
It was a metal collar that they had, like, welded to her.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
He's really sickening.
It's disgusting. It's really disgusting. So,
read it out loud.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Let me just wait for this to load because my computer's slow.
Should we give out a trigger warning or some shit?
Yeah, I'm gonna do trigger warning. So this is it's extremely graphic sexual content. Just for anybody, you know, anyone who needs to know that, like, this is not for the faint of heart or weak of stomach. But the tape transcript is a hello there, bitch. Right now,
sorry.
Starting out strong on that. Yeah, he starts out real strong. So what he would do, just to like explain what's happening, a girl would go out drinking, and they usually knew his daughter, and they would go out drinking, and like his daughter actually helped him like capture women. Like, that's a
house.
Uh-huh. And so they would go out drinking. They would usually, like, you know, be out with his daughter. And then she'd be like, oh, you can come over and, like, pass out on my couch for the night. And she'd be like, okay. So she would go back to the house. She'd pass out on the couch for the night. And when she would wake up, she would be in this room. And she'd be, like, she'd be tied down to, like, a chair. She'd have, like, a thing around her. She'd have a gag in her mouth. It would be completely pitch black in the room. And she'd have no idea where she was. And the first thing that she would hear would be, hello there, bitch. Are you comfortable right now? I doubt it. Wrists and ankles chained, gagged, probably blindfolded. You are disoriented and scared too, I would imagine. Perfectly normal under the circumstances. For a little while, at least, you need to get your shit together and listen to this tape. It is very relevant to your situation. I'm going to tell you in detail why you have been kidnapped, what's going to happen to you, and how long you'll be here.
Very graphic detail, folks, so continue.
Yeah.
I mean, so far, it's I think it's
chilling.
I mean, number of Tinder messages that Hannah's gotten, but go ahead.
Pretty damn close.
Yeah, I don't know the details of your capture because this tape is being created July 23rd, 1993 as a general advisory tape for future female captives. The information I'm going to give you is based on my experience dealing with captives over a period of several years. If, at a future date, there are any major changes in our procedure, the tape will be upgraded. Now, you are obviously here against your will, totally helpless. Don't know where you're at, don't know what's going to happen to you. You're very scared or very pissed off. I'm sure that you've already tried to get your wrists and ankles loose and know you can't. Now you're just waiting to see what's going to happen next. You probably think you're going to be raped, and you're fucking sure right about that. Our primary interest is in what you've got between your legs. You'll be raped thoroughly and repeatedly in every hole you've got, because basically, you've been snatched and brought here for us to train and use as a sex slave. Yep. Sound kind of far out? Well, I suppose it is to the untainted, but we do it all the time. It's going to be a lot of adjustment on your part, and you're not going to like it a fucking bit, but I don't give a rat's ass about that. It's not like you're going to have any choice about the matter. Oh, God. And it just, it goes on and on and on. It is so long. And, like, it is just...
Mark looks like he's going to cry.
Yeah.
It's pretty shaky. I mean, it's creepy.
It goes on. It goes on for two sides of a tape.
Wow.
Two sides.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm not going to go the whole thing.
And not because I'm light S&M, but this is horrible.
It is. Oh, it's absolutely horrible.
It's torture.
No, this guy, David Ray Parker, he was disgusting.
What was his name again? David Parker?
David Parker Ray.
Ray. I thought it was Roy. Yeah. That's it.
David Parker Ray.
That's
yeah.
it. Oh, mm-hmm. God. Because he was planning on killing them anyway, so why bother torturing them?
The really fucked up thing is David Parker Ray was actually, he worked for the state in the like Parks and Recreation Department, and he was the only one who had access to a lot of places in like national parks and stuff that other people couldn't get into. So they have no idea how many women he actually did kill and where he put a lot of the bodies. And like, there's no way to ever find out because he died 18 years ago. So there's still all these bodies that are probably out there. And he would, like, he would make maps, but, like, the maps were almost always wrong because, like, they would go back and there wouldn't be anything there.
It's like the most fucked up episode of Yogi Bear ever.
I love that. You're trying to laugh. Yeah, he's the most fucked up I hate reading about him.
Yeah, it's awful. What was your least favorite serial killer movie, Mia? What was the one that disappointed you?
Let me think. I want to say, have you ever seen Art School Confidential?
Yes.
Art School Confidential is about this art school kid. It's actually really fascinating, but I wish I got more into the serial killer crazy shit.
Yeah.
It's about this kid that's in art school, and he befriends this one really shitty artist, and that's all bitter and drunk and shit. And turns out he was the serial killer that the police were looking after throughout the whole movie. and he sets himself up to be the serial killer so he can live in infamy and be an artist forever. And he just painted in his cell, kept painting the girl he loved. And
So, because I gotta say, I have to go with you as far as Silence of the Lambs is the best serial killer movie, just because that's the two iconic serial killers you got. Hannibal Lecter was a classic, and then you got the Buffalo Bill, who's trying to be a woman but has the deepest, manliest voice ever, which is very, really weird. I don't know how they cast that guy. It's almost like you're slowing down a tape when he talks.
Yeah, but that's just like how he talks, though. If you saw the remake of like The Hills Have Eyes, he's in that too.
Well, I know he's in a lot of movies. He's a good actor, but it's like put the roses in the basket. It's like, man, where did you get this voice? My least favorite serial killer movie, and I'm gonna explain this, Mia.
Do it.
Summer of Sam.
I never saw it.
Yeah, I never saw that one either.
Because I saw it.
I think Spike Lee's a great director. I think he's made good movies. I was expecting a movie about the Son of Sam.
Yeah.
About 15 minutes of the movie are about Son of Sam. The rest of the movie are about John Leguizamo trying to get his wife to take it up the ass.
It's all
movie wasn't just based. It wasn't just based on Berkowitz. It was based around what was happening during that summer. Yeah,
it was Summer of Sam was about.
I enjoyed it.
Adrian Brody plays a punk rocker. But the main story is John Leguizamo is trying to get Mira Sorvino to take it up the ass. Then they separate. Then they get back together. And then, you know, they think Adrian Brody's the son of Sam because he's a punk rocker. It's stupid. And the actual Son of Sam's not even in it.
I think it just shows the ignorance and the hatred that went on there just by the way somebody dressed and somebody looked.
Sure.
Well, like those meatheads were tearing apart Adrian Brody's character because he was a freak. And they'd go and they'd beat the shit out of him. I mean, I think you should rewatch it and from a different perspective and not think about just Berkowitz.
Movie. Yeah, but when I saw it, I was like, okay, it's not a Sam movie. I'm interested.
Personally, I just don't really like movies that are made about actual serial killers because number one, everybody has like their own interpretation of what the movie should be. And it's never like, you know, it's never just let's make a movie about this person and the things that they did. It's always like, you know,
Dean was the best one, let's face it.
Yeah. But you know, but like, you know, it's never just a movie about like the killer. It's never just like a biopic. It's always just like, oh, we're going to come at this from like an angle where like, ooh, they're actually super really sympathetic and like, you know, casting Zac Efron, you know, like.
You didn't like the Zac Efron, Ted Bundy thing?
I feel like they left a lot of really important information out of that. And it just felt really shady that they did that.
Well, what about my friend Dahmer?
Huh?
I didn't even bother.
Oh, my friend Dahmer. I liked that. I had a lot of my friends watch it and they liked it.
I'll give it a shot. I found a really cool, my brother actually showed me a really cool like edit that someone did with my friend Dahmer, and it was like a music like thing that someone made, and I actually really liked that. And you know, and the guy that they picked to play Dahmer, he looks pretty convincing as Dahmer.
Oh my God, he does. He's a ringer.
He really does, right? I know. And it's really weird is he's a Disney Channel star.
Mm-hmm.
And
Good.
Then so was Zac Efron.
They both kind of did the movies, I think, within the same year of each other, trying to break like their Disney personas.
I thought Zac Efron looked like Bundy. I thought he did a good performance. As far as Dahmer, I mean, he's been...
They could have ugged him up, though. Yeah. They should have ugged up Zac Efron like they did with Charlize Theron.
Yeah,
They really, really they did. Made her. It was, I'm telling you, Monster was the best one.
Actually,
Ted Bundy is the Elvis of serial killers, let's face it.
I was going to say, is he the Elvis of serial killers?
But have you seen this shirt?
Oh.
No.
Oh, very nice. Cool.
Girls just want
to have fun. With Eileen Wuornos on the
Eileen Wuornos, yeah.
She said she'd be back.
That's mm-hmm. right.
She said she'd be back, and she's back.
Yep. She, my friend makes those shirts. I bought that from him on the down low because I didn't want him to know I was supporting his business. I was just like, no.
Berkey shirts?
I'm paying.
Does he have Berkey shirts? Berkowitz shirts? I call him Berkey.
Berkey, that's cute.
I don't remember. I know he's got Gein. I know he's got Lucas. I know he's got Eileen, Gein. And he's got Manson. I don't remember, but it's called Crude Ink, and you can find them on Etsy.
I was going to say, give me the plug again. Give me the plug again, Dakota.
Yeah, so it's called Crude Ink, and you can find them on Etsy, and their shirts are awesome. They're so comfortable. Like, I can wear those shirts, like, all day, and, like, I usually get bored of shirts and, like, change halfway through the day.
Okay, Rude Ink on Etsy.
No, Crude.
I'm looking at it right now. They got a really cool logo with the green stuff. And what's your sign with the Zodiac? That's so fun.
Yeah, that one's good. And see, that movie I actually did like. That was I will give them that one. That one was actually an interesting movie. I liked Zodiac.
Well, that coincidentally, by the way, you're not a serial killer, but you are a serial plugger, Dakota, today. But I was going to say, does anybody here, because I don't, have any theories on Zodiac or Jack the Ripper?
So, interesting that you bring that up. I actually have a woman I have been talking to lately who has some really interesting evidence to suggest that her grandfather was the Zodiac.
No shit. Oh.
Yeah,
and what's her name? Everything, hon.
I'm not gonna give out names right now. I'd really rather not do that at the moment.
Oh no, don't give out names. But
is it somebody that was suspected by the police?
Was he a cipher freak? Was he really good at crosswords? Like what?
So he was a psychotic person. They lived in the area in Northern California. He was completely psychotic. He beat his wife and children mercilessly. His children remember him constantly like doing gardening at night in their yard, but then like they never lived in a place that had anything more than just like dirt patches of yard. So like what was he gardening? He once beat his wife like so hard that she had a miscarriage. And like his children are like so fucked, like they can't even talk about him because they're like so messed up from like what he was like. So he either was the Zodiac is the theory that we're working with, or he knew who it was, but it's like he talked the police out of arresting him for stabbing a woman one time. Yeah.
Wow. How did that go?
He got pissed off at a woman. He stabbed her and then he talked the police out of arresting him for it. And they just didn't arrest him. So.
Now, did the police ever suspect him? Did the media ever suspect him?
So the woman that I'm talking with, she doesn't really know if the police suspected him. But she knows that they sometimes had to just up and leave in the middle of the night. Excuse me. But they moved around a lot in the middle of the night, you know. So there's some interesting stuff that happened in that.
Well, Zodiac normally left the bodies there. I think he might have been somebody obviously suspicious to look at, but I don't think he was Zodiac. Zodiac is
I don't think that he was burying bodies is the thing. I don't think he was burying bodies. I think he was just burying stuff that was taken because things were taken from the bodies.
Huh.
Yeah. I think he didn't want to keep trophies? That's how he did. Like, personally, that's my theory, is that it was how he kept the trophies.
Zodiac loved to like proclaim himself. Why would he bury his trophies?
Because he didn't want his family to know, because he had a wife and kids.
Oh,
you're saying he could always go back to that spot if he wanted to reminisce.
Exactly.
Do you think that Jack the Ripper was H.H. Holmes? Do you believe in that theory?
I don't really believe in that theory personally.
It's
an interesting theory to look into. It's an interesting theory to look into, but I don't honestly believe it. I think that Jack the Ripper probably ended up like dying after like, you know, certain number of, after, you know, the people he killed. Like,
I think another hooker killed him.
Yeah, I think so.
Ooh, I'd hope so.
I believe it. I hope so, too. I think it was either that or he had some sort of illness or something, because if you look at, like, what life was like back then, everybody had
illness. Yeah. Lucky if he made it to 30.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm fairly certain that he just died after, you know, the, what was it, 6 women that he killed?
I think it was 5 or 6, yes.
Yeah, it's like 5 or 6 women that are, like, officially considered Jack the Ripper victims.
I think Hooker just ended up killing him, is my theory.
That's what I hope happened.
So you don't believe he was H.H. Holmes?
No.
Mm-mm.
Yeah?
No, H.H. Holmes, I can't see him leaving very far. Whenever he left, it was always within the United States. He never really traveled overseas, really. And there's no evidence to support he was on a boat or anything ever. I do, like, oh, fuck. I do think we will catch the Zodiac, because we have DNA, because he licked a stamp. Mm-hmm. He licked a stamp, and, you know, we found the Golden State Killer. It's very possible that we will, you know, find Zodiac through that DNA.
A friend of mine worked on the Golden State stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah, Billy Jensen. He wrote a book about it, too. It was after, he was friends with, oh my gosh, Michelle McNamara.
Yeah, what's his face's wife? Patton Oswalt.
Patton Oswalt, yeah. Yeah.
Golden State Killer, that guy was a piece of shit, too.
Yeah, and he was a cop, and Michelle called it.
Well, let's face it, every serial killer is a piece of shit. I mean,
true.
But Hannah, and where does the time go? I know Dakota's got to go pretty soon, but one last thing for all three of you. Sorry?
Oh, I was just
half an hour before I have to go. Okay. I've got about half an hour.
Well, one last question for the three of you, and hopefully we'll do part two very soon.
Okay.
Hannah, what serial killer gets too much attention, and what gets not enough attention?
I want to say, like, cases like the Golden State Killer, I don't think they get enough attention. And I think Charles Manson is too overdone.
Mm-hmm. He's not even a serial killer. He's just a cult leader.
Yeah.
Right.
Interesting man, but there was no term for crazy cult leader at the time.
Right. So
they labeled him a serial killer, but he is actually the OG of, like, the predecessor of Jim Jones and of, like, Heaven's Gate.
He's the grandpa of the cults.
He is the Stanton. He is the Anton. The
godfather.
Actually, Mia, I've shown Dark Mark this and Hannah, but this actually used to belong to Charles Manson.
What the fuck is that?
It's a candlestick holder.
That's stupid.
Yeah. But it belonged to Charles Manson. And
oh, no, I agree. But, like, that's a pretty ugly candlestick holder.
Oh, you know it falls in their aesthetic. Like, so
it totally does. It looks like off candle. Yeah. Like, you know?
Yeah, no, but, like,
I take that back. That would look cute on a dining room table with a big, thick candle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What you got off the initial shot? Well, I mean, I don't think any. excuse me, I don't think any.
Corona.
What's that?
Yes, Corona. Yes, Corona is the worst serial killer ever. Doesn't get enough. So, yeah. No, I don't. I don't have Corona. I just cough once. But no, I was gonna. Manson has closed your eyes in any serial killer I've ever seen.
Disagree. Am I right? Disagree.
Who has crazier eyes than Manson?
Who has crazier eyes? Henry Lee Lucas. His eyes are pretty fucking crazy.
So does Ed Gein, though. Ed Gein has some international, sick eyes.
And I am going to say the Rostov Ripper has the deadest, coldest, blackest, crazy eyes I've ever seen.
Okay.
The Rostov Ripper. What's his face? I sometimes confuse him with Petushkin.
Tell me about him. I don't know about him.
He ate people.
Oh, Garrett, yeah.
Grandpa. God damn it, bald guy. Had like. Fuck. Help me out here, Dakota.
Andre Chikatilo.
Ah, thank you. No, Andre Chikatilo.
Isn't that who you're thinking of?
No, that's the butcher of killer.
The Butcher of Rostov.
Oh, I'm thinking of Alexander Petushkin. It is
Andrei. Oh, okay. You said those names.
They're both Russian, you know?
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Although, I do love Petushkin.
But Chikatilo was bald, too, so I'm sitting here like, you're just giving me Chikatilo right now, and I'm just going to wait for you to figure it out.
No, I was trying to remember the name of Chikatilo. I just confused him with my favorite, who is Petushkin.
Okay.
I think he does not get enough attention.
Okay.
I guess not. I never heard of him.
Yeah, no, I guess not. Who do you think gets more? Who do you think gets too much attention, though, Mia?
Manson.
Okay, so we're falling on Manson pretty hard right now.
You know what? The Grim Sleeper doesn't get enough attention. Actually, I'm gonna.
That's a good
Grim
one.
Sleeper.
That's a good one.
Sam Little, he doesn't get enough attention.
Yeah, and he's still alive.
Yeah.
Hey, tell me about Sam Little. I don't even know about him.
Killed hookers. The end.
Yeah, I killed about 95 women and assaulted them all the way from Ohio to California, and he's still sitting pretty in prison right now.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
Please, Jack the Ripper did that 100 years ago, please.
Jack the Ripper killed 6 hookers, that's it.
What's that?
Jack the Ripper only killed 5 to 6 women.
Yeah, well.
But back in the Victorian era, that was a big fucking deal. I mean
yeah, absolutely.
Get in a car and go cross country. You had to get in a fucking buggy.
Yeah.
1 second. I mean, they didn't have beds. Most of them were like just tied up to boards and just sitting up like vampires.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called Sleep Tight.
Yeah.
Well, one last question. I'll let you go. Once again, I want to do a part two soon. Hannah.
Yes.
Why are you so fascinated with serial killers? Why do you think serial killers are so fascinating?
But when I was younger, I thought it was so cool to learn about them because I wanted to go into forensic psychology when I was young, and my mom's an absolute psychopath and from my childhood. But now that I'm getting older, I want to stay away from society because it scares me. So I don't think they're so much fascinating anymore. I find them more frightening the older I get.
Mm-hmm.
And Dakota, same question to you.
Why am I so interested in serial killers? I think it's, I've really been interested in psychology since I was a kid. As I mentioned before, I've been, you know, seeing, professionals since I was like 8 years old. And I feel like I have a pretty good grasp on like what my brain does. But it's really interesting just seeing the way that other people's brains work. And I find it fascinating just this sort of disconnect that these killers have, to the point that like, you know, it's like this disconnect is just really fascinating to me.
You think about going into psychiatry?
No, I'm not. But I just think that there's this just basic instincts that humans have hardwired into them, and the wiring is just wrong on serial killers. Yeah. And I find it absolutely interesting and fascinating just to see like what it is that people will actually do when they're pushed hard enough.
It's kind of a frightening thing too, especially when you read up on them and you educate yourself with all the mental illnesses and if you've seen it or experienced it.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But I do want to answer your other question really fast. I think that Gypsy Rose Blanchard gets too much attention, in my opinion.
Ooh.
I truly believe that. And I think that
she killed her mom.
Yeah, agreed. But I still think that she gets too much attention right now, you know, and it's, you know, but what I do think, you know, is like someone that should have like had more attention, but not in the sense of like, let's focus on her this much is, but like more attention in like the mental health aspect is I think that Andrea Yates deserved a lot more
help. Oh my god, yes. Yeah. We really need to look into that. Jesus kills more people than Manson. I say
it's
that
not even just Jesus though. It's not even just Jesus. I mean, it was her
postpartum depression because she had 5 kids in like 8 years.
I know
is a born again Christian if you heard you say that.
Who is
David Berkowitz?
Yeah, he is a born-again Christian. Another reason why I think he's so fascinating, along with Kemper, because he was the only ones that felt like, they were the only ones that feel remorse. I mean, Kemper felt it immediately.
Sex
like, well, I killed my mom. That's all I ever wanted to really do in the end.
Yeah.
And then, Berkowitz sat in jail forever, and now he's the son of hope. you know.
Tex Watson is a born again too.
He's just that's falling scary. For another cult. That's
yeah, exactly.
Ugh.
Honestly, I think anyone that goes over to like religion is looking for a cult.
Or an excuse,
but like honestly,
mostly they just want a place to belong, like we all do.
Yeah, right. absolutely. But like, you know, if you look at like the way that like Christian, like if you look at the way that any church recruits, it's the exact same way that any cult recruits. I'm just saying, like,
I'm with you. I never understood
the insides of religion and the insides of cults are shock. They just mirror each other.
Yeah, I never understood why people would just pile on Scientology when it's the same thing.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like, I was a Christian for many years, and you know, it's you know, and what I see looking at Christianity is the same thing I see looking at Shinrikyo.
Right, but you know, as long as you know, my philosophy has always been, you know, as long as it helps you, fine.
If it helps you, fine. As long as you're not hurting people.
Amen.
So, yeah,
that's so, like my life goal for everything.
They really need to start looking into those little like communes that people have with those little kids, mm-hmm. and it's usually hell. People need to start paying attention to those little things and having them regularly checked out by the law.
Oh, absolutely! Like I did a 2-part series on the fundamental Mormonism, It's the FLDS I did, and then the Kingston group, the Kingston mm-hmm. clan in Utah.
Yeah.
Fucking fascinating and fucking terrifying. And when I was in Nevada, like I just got back from Nevada yesterday, mm-hmm. and when I was in Nevada, like you could still see the FLDS, like, you know, people there, like all over the place in the desert. Like they're just all over the desert and you don't even think about it. The really scary thing about the Kingston group is they are similar to the FLDS, but they still dress like, you know, normal. So you just can't tell who you're talking to.
They're undercover.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, they are the Mennonites of...
yeah, yeah, the Amish, yeah.
They're the Mennonites of the FLDS, absolutely.
Just like some serial killers, you can never see them coming. Hmm. Anyway, this has been so much fun. I definitely want to do a part two.
It has. Thank you, Mark.
What's that?
What's the name of your podcast again about serial killers?
My show is called Chardonnay True Crime. It's like Chardonnay, but Chardonnay.
H-A-Y or three E's?
H-A-A-A-Y.
Ah.
That's so cute.
Three A's.
Chardonnay.
Hey. Yeah,
exactly. And how can people follow you on social media, Dakota? Oh, here you go. Chardonnay.
And we sell these stickers, just FYI. You can find me personally on social media at Dakota's Beard across the board. So it's Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. It's at Dakota's Beard. If you want to find my show, it is Chardonnay True Crime. You can find this on Instagram, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook. We've got a Facebook page and a Facebook group. We update every Tuesday, Thursday, and Sunday. This week we are talking about, oh God, who did I say we were talking?
Hansen. Richard Hansen.
Hansen. That's what we're talking about. Yeah. Robert Hansen.
Not Manson. He's had enough coverage. Hansen.
No, Robert Hansen. Yeah, we're going to be talking about him this week.
Not one of the Hansen brothers, or not one of the Hansen...
Mbop. Not yet. You never know. Mbop might surprise us here in 2020.
Right.
Some little Christian boys.
It's 2020. Yes. Everybody's crazy.
Right.
Yeah. I know I am. And Mia, always a pleasure. Do you have any Zoom shows coming up or anything going on?
Let's see. I host a Zoom mic on Sundays at 11 a.m. El Bamo mic. Watch me be really mean to you and make you a better comedian, even though I'm not a great one myself.
I might have to do it this week.
Yeah. There's a sign-up sheet every week. Look up, show up, go up. I don't know how this shit works anymore. Technology is scary, but I'm getting better. Mia fucking Mars on everything. I'm on YouTube. I'm on Instagram, I'm on the Stereo app now, and That's it. I don't know. I'm not good at promoting myself, folks. I just want you to laugh.
Well, I will tell you that if Dakota remembers your act and you remember Dakota's act, two of the most entertaining people in L.A., two of my favorites.
Thank you.
Because, I don't know. Do you remember Dakota chopping a cucumber on her arm and things like that?
Yes, I remember the cucumber.
And you remember Rhea's serial killer comedy portion of her set?
Yes, I do, actually, because I remember just sitting there going,
it's all okay. Coming back. And Hannah?
No, I do remember you watching me going,
Yeah.
And Hannah, tell us about your...
For the record, that's just my face. I have got, like, a major case of bitch face a lot of the time.
What? Hannah, tell us about your other podcast and how do people get a hold of you on social media.
Yeah, it's Vegans Uncensored. I'm with our friend Mary. We're just, you know, talk about vegan products, vegan food,
Mary Zaint,
yeah. And Vegas Uncensored, you can follow us on Instagram. And then I'm Hail Hannah Box 666 on Instagram and TikTok.
Oh, I didn't know you.
Oh, wait, I don't follow you on TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta get a TikTok account.
I should have TikTok too.
So you'll see me twerking very soon. I'm Goth Comedian on all social media. Everybody, have a wonderfully creepy week and stay away from all the serial killers.
Bye.
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 Thank you again. Bye, guys.